guys look so beautiful and handsome. I don't want the men to feel left out, you know, so I need to compliment them as well. Well, it is a privilege to be here today. Thank you. I am a sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. If it weren't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be stood here today. And if it weren't for his strength reaching out to me time after time after time, I wouldn't be here today. So it is a real privilege to stand here and be able to minister to you. So I just pray that God's grace reaches out to you too. Amen? Amen. Well, God's desire is to speak to us. And when we make time for him, he reveals secrets to us. A few weeks ago, Pastor said that he had already prepared his preach. But come Sunday morning, he felt the Spirit of God nudging him to change his message. So he did. And I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he listened. Because the message he spoke that Sunday was on encountering God. Amen? Amen. And I believe you can tell that God definitely is moving in this place since that Sunday. And he's not finished yet. You know, so just to say that if as yet you haven't realized that God is doing something in this place, it is not too late to cry out to him, you know. He will hear you. Because we've been reading, of course, we know the story of blind Bartimaeus, who we, as the story goes, he was blind Bartimaeus. And he was sat in his usual place, begging for money. And he heard a crowd going past. And he said, "What is going on?" And someone said, "It is Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by." Now, he was blind, so he wouldn't have witnessed any of the miracles that Jesus had ever wrought at all. But he had heard. He had ears, so he had heard. And so what he did was he cried out. He used his voice, and he cried out. And Jesus stopped. Amen? Amen. He stopped, and he was healed. But when he stopped, when Jesus stopped, he did one thing that I want you to be aware. He commanded the blind man to be brought to him, and he came. Jesus is here. The Spirit of God is here. He has stopped for you and I. But you need to come because he's calling you. And then when you come, he will meet you right where you are. Amen? Amen. So he's going to do his bit, but you need to do your bit. Amen? Anytime that we cry out, Jesus stops. Or perhaps maybe you are far from God right now. But don't worry about that. He will hear you. We looked at the story of the 10 lepers, didn't we? And they were at a distance. They saw Jesus at a distance. So don't worry if you are far from God. Cry out and he will hear you and answer you. Amen? Because when those 10 lepers cried out to Jesus, what did he do? He healed them. He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." On their way, they got healed. Amen? Amen. And in small groups, someone said, I said, you know, they were going, but they weren't healed yet. And someone said, "Yes, but the answer is coming." We step out in faith, and the answer is coming. Amen? So you don't sit right where you are in your problem and expect God to meet you. Step out in faith and your answer is coming. Amen? Amen? If you are struggling to trust in God, then cry out in desperation and say, "I want to believe, Jesus. Help my unbelief." Amen? Amen. Oh, I don't hear you. Amen? Amen? In the last few weeks, we have looked at so many stories in the Bible through the preach and in our daily devotions where various people encountered God in their lives. For some people, when they encountered God, they were empowered for ministry. For other people, when they encountered God, they received their healing. Amen? Amen? And so if you are sitting there and you are thinking, "This encountering thing is too much for me," well, wake up, because it is meant for your good. Either you're going to receive your healing where it is needed, because I know where the Spirit of God meets, where the anointing of God is, there is healing. Amen? Amen? And therefore, when the anointing of God is, he empowers us. He comes upon us, for ministry. So believe God, whatever it is your need is, he is here for you right now. Amen. Amen. Well, this is exciting. I am so excited. We heard of testimonies last week of what God is doing in people's lives in this very church. So what God is doing is not just something we are reading of in the Bible. It is happening right here in this church. Amen? And therefore, if you are praying or we are praying with you and God is answering your prayer, speak to a leader. Let us share it from the front so that it will encourage those who are going through a difficult time that our God is alive. Amen? Amen. Do not sit on your testimony. Let us share it because it is to glorify the name of God. When we share our testimony, it is to glorify the name of God. God is waiting for us to turn away from the things that preoccupy us. And when he has our full-blown attention, he will speak to us. Because that is what we saw when we studied Jacob. Remember? Yes. Jacob encountered God. But at what time did he encounter God? Only at the time that he has sent his wife and everything else that was dear to him, sent everything away, and he was alone with God. That was the point when God actually encountered him. Or Moses, let's look at Moses. At what point did God speak to Moses? It was when he had turned away from the flock that he was looking at. He turned to look at the burning bush. It was then that God spoke to him. God is waiting to speak to you and I, but we are so preoccupied with what we are going through, we tend not to have time for him. But when we turn to focus on him, he will speak to us. Because when he spoke to Moses, we learned that he changed his history, he changed his identity, and he changed his destiny. God did it for Moses. He will do the same for you. Amen? Amen. The woman at the well had an encounter with Jesus and immediately became an evangelist. Amen? Amen? Something happens each time we encounter God. He changes everything that is to do with us. Because that woman's history was changed forever. The paralyzed man was lowered in front of Jesus by four friends who simply wouldn't give up on their friend. The place where Jesus was speaking at was so full, they couldn't come through the doors. The only way they could do it was to go up the roof. Now imagine the determination on the face of their friends. They were carrying an adult. Not just on the four steps we have in front of the church, but they had to go up a roof. They had to dig a hole in the roof and then drop the person right in front of Jesus. But you know what? Jesus doesn't mind being interrupted. Amen? Amen? Whatever it is that he's doing, he doesn't mind being interrupted because when we interrupt him, he hears us. Amen? Amen? So they interrupted Jesus, and Jesus stopped what he was doing, spoke to the guy and said, pick up your mat and go. And what did he do? He picked up his mat, praising God. Amen? Amen? When God heals us, I said it before, he heals us so that we will glorify him. So whatever it is that you are going through right now, I need you to know that God is going to come through for you. But when he comes through for you, don't walk out of here and go and lead the same life that you were leading before. You glorify God with your life. So if you're not a believer and God meets you in a special way, you give your life to him, you get baptized, you serve him so that you tell people your story. As you tell people your story, others will get to know about God. Amen. And if you are a believer and God actually touches your life, you don't go back to the same old kind of life. You up your level and then you glorify God with your life. Amen. Amen. Jesus, visit us with your power in here today. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13, he said, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. And he said, this I will do. Why? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen? Amen? So for the prayer that God is going to answer, he's going to answer it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever prayer it is that you are seeking right now, when God heals you, remember that the healing or the relief or the job you need, whatever it is, you are to use that to glorify God. And you do that by telling your story. And you can only tell your story when your life is an example of that of Christ. Amen. Amen. That was a very quiet amen. Amen. When God encounters, he fills us for ministry. When God encounters us, he also fills us for ministry. We read in our daily devotion last week how Peter and John were thrown into prison for healing the lame beggar. Remember? At the beautiful gate. And when they were released from prison, now you thought they would go and hide under their beds and say, thank you, Lord, we're never going back to this again. But no, they went straight back to their people, assessing the Bible. And they joined together and they prayed. And it says the place where they were at was shaken. And their prayer was, and I was struck by this, they asked God, they said, fill us with boldness that we may continue to speak your word. And that is exactly what God did. He filled them with boldness. Amen? Amen. There's power in corporate prayer. There is power in corporate prayer. When those two needed to be strengthened, yes, the two of them could have stood on their own, but they went to their people and they stood with them and they prayed. There is power in corporate prayer. Amen? Amen. And we have a prayer meeting coming up on the 17th, and I need you to come and stand with us to pray, because God, we know God is doing something in this place. Amen? Amen. He has revealed it to us, and God only reveals to redeem his people, but we need you to stand with us so that what God has said he's going to do will come to pass. Amen? Amen. And so no point staying at home on the 17th when we gather to pray at 7:30. We need you to join us so that this place will be shaken. When the place was shaken, they were met, they were actually empowered, and they went out preaching the gospel. Amen? Amen. 17th of November, 7:30, what is happening? Pray. Amen. So it is possible to encounter God. It is also possible to encounter God and walk away and deny this mighty power. It is possible to encounter God and deny this gracious, merciful, and powerful God. It is possible to encounter God and then waste the whole experience. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 to 18. Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 to 18. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Then God said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, that is Aaron's older sons, and 70 of Israel's elders, and you shall worship at a safe distance. Moses alone shall approach the Lord, but the others shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came and told the people everything that the Lord had said and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he got up early in the morning and built an altar for worship at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in large basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. And they said, everything that the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood which had been placed in the large basins and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up the mountainside, and they saw a manifestation of the God of Israel. And under his feet, there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, just as clear as the sky itself. Yet, he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the Israelites, and they saw the manifestation of the presence of God, and they ate and they drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua, his attendant, and he went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Remember that Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him go to them. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory and the brilliance of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, God called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. in the sight of the Israelites, the appearance of the glory and brilliance of the Lord was like consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Moses entered the midst of the cloud and went up the mountain, and he was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel saw a manifestation of God. Such an awesome encounter. But what became of that? What became of the manifestation of God that they saw? Hold that thought. We'll come back to it. But it says, after they had finished eating and drinking, God called Moses to come up the mountain and stay there. And Moses went up with his assistant, Joshua. And Moses was up on the mountain. Altogether, I figured he was there for about 47 days altogether. But he was there with Joshua for 6 days. On the seventh day, God called him to come. And he was with God for 40 days and 40 nights. But before Moses was going up, he put Aaron in charge. And this is what he said to him. Verse 4 of chapter 24, Exodus 24, 4. He said, wait here for us until we come back to you. Now remember, Aaron, that and I are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him go to them. So Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders stayed behind. Moses went up, and Aaron was in charge of the people. Or Aaron and her was in charge of the people. But during the time that Moses was away, a conversation took place. The people of Israel came to Aaron, and they said, and for that conversation, keep your finger in chapter 24. We're going to go to Exodus 32 and find out a bit about that conversation. Exodus chapter 32, we're going to read verses 1 to 8, so that you'll find out what happened. Now it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered together before Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron replied to them, take off the gold rings that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters. Bring them to me. So all the people took off the gold rings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took the gold from their hands and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Interesting. Now when Aaron saw the molten calf, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. So they got up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Then the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to play shamefully without moral restraint. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down at once. For your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you from the land of Egypt. Such deception. Such deception. And remember, Jeremiah 33:3 says that, call to me and I will answer. And I will tell you and I will show you great and mighty things you don't know. I will show you things that are hidden, things that are confined. And if you don't believe that passage, this is it. Moses was up on the mountain with God. And God revealed to him what is going down below. So when you go up, when you go to God in prayer, God shows you things in the spiritual realm that you don't see with your natural eye in the physical realm. Amen? And he sets you up above the people that you are walking with, and you are able to be calm in situations where they will actually fall apart. Here is an example. But such a deception. Now, let's not forget that Aaron was the brother of Moses. Now, he was made, when God called Moses to go and actually speak to Pharaoh, and Moses complained so much, God made him the spokesperson. So Aaron was Moses' mouthpiece, let's put it that way. And he was his prophet. So Aaron could speak so well, yet he spoke not a word against this idolatry. Was it not Aaron who was commissioned by God to be Moses' spokesperson? Was not Aaron who was employed in summoning the place of the that happened in Egypt? And he the one who brought upon brought all those judgments upon the gods of the Egyptians? And yet, he forgot. And he agreed to the statement and said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." It is possible to encounter God and waste it. It is possible to encounter God and waste it, and it is possible to encounter God and make good use of it. Amen? Amen. Matthew Henry's commentary puts it this way. He said, whilst Moses was on the mountain receiving the law from God, the people had time to meditate upon what had been delivered. Let's pause there for a minute. If you look at Exodus chapters 20, all the way to 23, God had been giving them the law. So they had received some already. So it's not as though they were idle and they didn't know what to do. There was something for them to meditate on. There was something for them to prepare themselves for what was further to be revealed. But instead of that, there were those among them who were contriving how to break the laws they had already received, and to anticipate those who were, and to anticipate those which were in expectation of, because they knew more was coming. So the plot broke out of rebellion against the Lord. I believe one person started it, and it drew a whole nation into it. Aaron saw the manifestation of God. He knew God because he was the mouthpiece in the land of Egypt, and yet he quickly forgot about God. What Aaron and the Israelites did is very much like what we see today. That people come to church and they see God move. He speaks into their lives. He answers their need. They see great things. The prayers are answered miraculously. They get that job they were looking for. They get a child that once they were barren, but they get a child. You know, they get those things that was impossible, they get. And they thank God and they praise God. Yeah, look at what God has done. Within 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, a month maybe, let's say. 3 months? 6 months? Oh, I'm too busy. I can't do this. The very small group they sat with that prayed with them, I don't have time to go. I have other things doing. The very people that prayed for them, you're even going to say, like, why are you even bothering me? I have things to do. And yet, this is the God that you prayed to help you. We read the Bible and we think, oh, these people, there was something wrong with them. But don't you think there is something wrong with us? That we come to this God, we see what he has done. That what he does for us is so that we will walk with him and lead a life glorifying him, so that when people look at our life, they will begin to glorify God too. Amen? Amen? But we come to God, we pray, he answers, we get our need, and then we start worshiping the blessing he's given us instead of worshiping the blesser. How easily we take our eyes off Jesus and focus on ourselves, our wants, our needs, our issues, our illnesses, our disappointments. Leaders need to lead. We cannot be led by the people we lead. Leaders, not by title, but every person here is a leader. I keep saying it. Do you know why? Because you lead yourself first before you can lead anyone else on this planet. If you don't know how to lead yourself, you won't be able to lead anyone else. I mean, as adults with children, who wakes you up to go to work on time? Tell me. I need an answer. You yourself wakes yourself, whether you use an alarm or whatever, you are responsible for making sure that you leave the house at a certain time to get to work at a certain time so that you get the money you need to look after your family, right? Yes. And therefore, you are first and foremost a leader of yourself. Before you are later on given a title or position, and then you lead a group of people. Amen? Amen? And therefore, if you do not know how to lead yourself, you cannot lead anyone. The people came to Aaron, the priest, the representative of God, and asked him to make them a god who will lead them and Aaron. It was only, I say, 47 days, maybe 46 days, that he had seen the manifestation of God. And he immediately agreed to make them this golden calf and presented it and was able to actually use his mouth to say, here is the God who brought you out of the land of Israel. Such blasphemy. Maybe he was too afraid to stand up to the Israelites. But note that the fear of man is what? Thank you. The fear of man. Note this. Note this somewhere. The fear of man is the snare of the devil. The fear of man is the snare of the devil. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Remember what I said. When you go before God and you pray, when you seek his face consistently, constantly, he will reveal things to you that no one can put fear into you. But the only time that you walk in fear is when you do not know this God and you don't go before him. Flee from those who make life comfortable for you. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The cross symbolizes sacrifice. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, then you have to pick up your cross daily and follow me. Be wary of Christians who always help you find the easy way out of life so that the word sacrifice is lost. Be wary of leaders who encourage you to remain where you are and agree with you without calling you up to the next level. Be wary of anyone who wants to keep you small by not speaking the truth to you. Because had Aaron spoken the truth, maybe some people would have changed. None of the 70 elders were able to say, now hang on, Aaron, why are you doing? Nobody spoke. It is not mentioned in the Bible that any of them spoke. Aaron wanted to please the people and he led them to sin. It is possible to have an encounter with God and stay connected, and it is also possible to encounter God and forget about him. You need to make time to come into the presence of God if you are to stay connected. Did you hear that? You need to make time to come into the presence of God if you are to stay connected. We make excuses to come close to God. We walk away and the enemy fills our time. The same time we could have used to be with God, the enemy fills it with other things that draws us further and further away from God. The same time that the people of Israel used to... Or the same time they could have used to meditate on the laws and gain understanding of what they had received previously in chapters 20 to 23 of Exodus, they didn't. They used that time to rather worship false gods. Did you know that the Israelites had an opportunity to stay at the foot of the mountain and listen to God for themselves? Because that was God's initial plan. And they came and God spoke, and they were so scared. They said to Moses, no, we don't want to hear God speak to us. You go and hear him speak. We will stay right here. And then you come and repeat to us what God says. Now you go, Moses, we will stay here. And they stayed at the foot of the mountain. They didn't just stay at the foot of the mountain, but they drifted further and further and further away. Does that sound familiar? They moved away from the foot of the mountain so they couldn't hear the voice of God. They were happy with that and they got on with their business. But before long, they had forgotten that God is real. And now they had requested a golden image to worship. What is the golden image that you are worshiping instead of God? Anything that comes before you or that comes between you and God is a golden image. Anything that you worship instead of making time for God is a golden image. What is that golden image that you are worshiping? Please pray for those you know who make excuses for making time for God. Be it attending church, reading the Bible, serving, participating in small groups, prayer service, you name it, just cry out to God on their behalf that that person would be saved. Because they are slipping away from their faith. And they're giving you all manner of excuses. And they think they're not slipping away. They are. Anyone who draws up a rota for themselves and attend church once every 4 weeks, once every 6 weeks, once every goodness knows when, because they have this to do and they have that to do and they have that to do, that person is backsliding. Please pray for the person. Please pray fervently for the person, for they are backsliding. It grieves my heart that spirit-filled Christians help others backslide by agreeing with their excuses. And yet these people are drowning in their sea of excuses. All they need is for you to hold their hands and say, hang on, what you're doing isn't right. Just help them out by speaking the truth to them. How can you tell me that you are plugged in into God? How can you tell me that you have a personal relationship with God when 6 weeks you come to church once? Maybe when you're serving, then you show up in church. Or maybe you'll come to church, but you come by, hey, that is it. Reading the Bible, non-existent. Praying, non-existent. Worshiping, nah, I don't like that song. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Cry out to the people you know, because they are backsliding. If it is you, then I pray that God will open your eyes, that you will see the hope to which you have been called, that you cry out and ask him to help you so that you can begin to engage with him on a personal level. Because no relationship on this planet is going to survive when you speak to that person once every, 6 weeks? A few years ago, after we had run our holiday club, we do run VBS in this church. Maybe about 4, 5, 6 years ago, I can't remember, quite a while back. That VBS was a powerful one. Loads of children came. I think it was one of those VBSs that were bursting at the seams, that were turning children away because we just couldn't contain them in the building. And the Friday night was powerful. The Friday night is when we invite the parents to come back to see everything that the children has done, and they showcase it to them. And parents are so excited, and most of the children coming are not even churchgoers. And the parents are not churchgoers. And they were touched by the Bible verses they heard, the songs they sang, everything that they did. And I went home very pleased and very excited indeed. I went to bed, and I was woken up with a dream. I have never forgotten that dream. I shared that dream at the next prayer meeting we had after that VBS. In fact, I emailed it to the leaders first, and then I shared it. And this is the dream I had. That it was as though I was stood in front of the church, and there were a group of youth that were in front of the church. And they were just happy. Youth are normally happy. They have energy, and they were doing what youth do. And I was stood there just watching them, and I saw this dark cloud coming over the youth. And as soon as the cloud came over the youth, they became motionless and passive. And I started praying the name of Jesus over them. As I prayed the name of Jesus, the cloud moved, and the youth were active again, doing the things that youth do. As I stopped, the cloud came back over them, and they were passive. And they went like they are, youth are normally are. And as I was praying, and I was the only one there, I was looking for someone to stand with me to pray over the youth. And as I was praying, I saw the cloud shifting and coming directly over the church. So I ran. For some reason, I couldn't come through the front doors of the church. I had to use the side stairs. I ran all the way down the stairs, came to this very door here to my left-hand side, but someone was blocking me, so I couldn't come through the door to warn the people in the church. So I had to use the corridor and come through the door on my right-hand side. And by the time I came through the church, the cloud had already settled over the adults, and the adults were also passive. And I stood there in disbelief. And I've pondered over this dream for years. I'm thinking, Lord, what does it mean? What does it mean? And then as I was preparing, it dawned on me. And with what is going on recently, it dawned on me that some of the youth in our generation seem to think that there is no way they can get serious with God. Because if they get serious with God, it will affect their studies. And so for that, they are leading a passive Christian life. And unfortunately, we are believing it as adults. It is deception from the enemy. It is deception from the enemy. Go to Daniel. Read the story of Daniel. Daniel was but a teenager when he and some of his friends were taken into captivity to a foreign land that his parents were not there. And yet he and his friends stood their ground. Now there were other young people from Judah that were taken, but we don't read of them in the Bible. Why? Because they compromised with the life that was going on there. So we don't read of them. And then we read of Joseph. Joseph was but a teenager when he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. But he held on to the God he knew. How could he have known this God? He was taught from an early age. Amen. Amen. And these two that I've mentioned, there's more in the Bible, but these two that I've mentioned, Daniel rose up to be prime minister, and he ruled under three kingdoms, if I'm right. And Joseph rose to be second in command in the land of Egypt. You tell me that if you take on this God and you serve him, he will fail you. You don't serve the God I serve, then, if that is your thinking. Because the God I serve, he says we will be the head and not the tail if we are obedient to the laws. I have seen 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds serve in this very church, and they went on to pass their GCSEs, and they went to sixth form, and during sixth form, they served in this very church, and they passed their exams, and they went to university, and they came out with first class, they came out with second class degrees, and they are working and still serving God. It is a deception. It is a deception that needs to be broken in this church. Amen. And I would that every parent would take the word of God seriously and teach it to their children. Live it out at home as a parent, and then teach your child to live it out so that when your child grows up, they will not depart from it. Because if you don't have a child who has gone to uni, do you know, once they leave the house and go to uni, you have no control. Where they go, you don't know. What time they come in, you don't know. I spent weeks not sleeping, trying to find out where this child is. They said, Mom, why are you ringing so much? And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? What time is this child coming home? Huh? At that time, because under my roof, you don't come home at that time. But the word of God kept them. Some years back, I think I was doing youth work then. And then God placed it on my heart, and I said, parents, I got the church to buy devotional guides for every age group in the church. We did it for the first time, and I said, after this, when this guide runs out, parents, you are responsible for buying it for your children so that if they are young enough and they can read by themselves, you sit and read with them so that they'll know what is in the word. Teach them the word of God from an early age. Let them know the truth in it so that during this time, when deception is coming their way, they'll go, no, that's not the word. But if you parents don't teach them the word of God, if you don't read it, if you don't know it, they are not going to know it. But I'll say this and then I'll move on. If we say that our youth are so busy with homework, so they don't have time for God, and yet, we're going to pray to the same God to give them a part-time job. What time are they going to use to do that part-time work if they can't take anything to serve God with? The God that you cannot serve, you don't have time for. I'm going to exceed my time, forgive me. The same God. The same God that you don't have time for. You want him to give you work. But you don't have time to serve him because you are so busy. But you're going to pray for him to answer your prayer. And then he give you a part-time job. Thank you. I only understood that. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you. No compromise. No compromise. Where God moves, he speaks. Oh, thank you, Lord. How do we encounter God? How do we encounter God? We make time to be with him. We make time to be with him. That is how we encounter him. How much anointing you carry depends on how much of yourself you have given to God. Some people come and they are so busy with themselves, so busy with life. This is all they offer God. Now, you're not going to see this from a distance, so I'll ask the projection to go up, please. It's a thimble. You put it on the end of your finger when you're sewing so that it doesn't prick your finger. We are so busy with our lives. This is all the space we give him. On the projection, no, I had it on the slide. Please, thank you. That is all we give God. How much anointing you carry depends on how much of yourself you give to God. When God called Moses to go up the mountain, Moses waited 6 days. On the 7th day, God spoke to him. God said, come up to me on the mountain and stay there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments which I have written for your instruction. God asked Moses to come up to the mountain, but he didn't say how long he was to stay there for. He just told him to wait. Moses waited 6 days, and on the 7th day, God spoke. Had Moses been impatient and left, he would have missed hearing from God. We need to learn to wait if we are to hear from God. We need to learn to wait if we are to hear from God. Communion with God is worth waiting for. I know you have work to go to, so I'm not expecting you to wait on God for 6 solid days without going anywhere. That is not what I'm saying. But the time has come, as we are asking God to encounter us, the time has come to decide whether you want to encounter God or stay right where you are. The choice is yours. If you want to encounter God, then something must give. You need to make time to wait on God. I carried out an exercise with my small group some time back because I was tired of hearing people saying, I don't have time to prepare for small group. You send them the what they meant to prepare for, they come and folded arms. No, I didn't read it. I don't have time for devotion. I don't have this because I have to do this and I have to do that. So I asked them a simple question. What time do you get home from work? And they told me that time. Some said 5:30, some said 7:30. Whatever time they came in, okay, so we looked at that. And I said, so when you come home, how long does it take you to cook, to eat, to clean up, to tidy up? And they gave me their slot. Okay, so we put that slot down. So for those with children, how much time do you need to spend with homework and this and that and put them to bed? We put it down. Okay. So say, supposing your children are in bed by 9 o'clock or whatever time, or you finish clearing up by 9:30. Between 9:30 and the time you go to bed. Oh, no, I said to them, what time do you go to bed? And people said, maybe 11, 12. Okay. Between the time you put your children to bed or the time you finish with your house chores, what do you do during that time? And then it all came out. Oh, I watch this. And oh, I watch that. I record this program and then I watch this. Or maybe I go on my game. Or maybe I read a book. Or maybe I do this. I said, fair enough. We need to do all those things. He cannot live in a filthy home. If you live in a filthy home, may God release you right now, deliver you. You need deliverance. You need to clean up. But the thing is, between the time you finish doing all that and the time you go to bed, what do you do? And when they said it, I said, is there any way you could take a bit of time out of that slot to prepare for small group, to do your devotion? I'm not asking you to live in a filthy house. I'm not asking you not to look after your children. I'm not asking you to do the things that you're supposed to do, because we all have to do those things. It is part of life. But if you're watching like 3-4 episodes that you recorded, can you use 1 hour out of that to do your devotion? If you're like me, I cannot read in the evening. I drop off to sleep. I'm an early bird. I wake up early. So if you're like me, then set your clock so that you wake up earlier than usual and spend that time to seek God's face. Amen? Amen. If you want to encounter God, then you can't just come on church on a Sunday and expect the worship team to worship and go, oh yeah, I'm feeling it. No, I didn't feel it. Ah. If you are this dry, nothing is going to touch you. But when you have been preparing from home and preparing from home and preparing from home, then what is done is going to touch you. So how do we encounter God? We make time for him daily through worship. We make time for him daily through reading of the Bible. We wait on him through praying and fasting. And there's a prayer and fasting time coming up at the end of the month. Make it your aim to plug in. Because as a church, God is moving in this place. And we want you to be part of what God is doing. Don't expect someone to do it all and you just come and sit in with folded arms and go, nah, I didn't feel it. What did you bring? What did you bring if you didn't feel it? I felt it. So why didn't you? Amen. Amen. We wait on God through praying and fasting. Because on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were waiting on God through prayer. And it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. Upon means power for ministry. And Peter, on that day, someone who was so timid that he denied ever knowing Jesus, he preached, and 3,000 people crossed the line of faith. Monica, can I have you come up, please? Thank you, Lord. That's it. 3,000 people crossed the line of faith. Why is that? Because he was anointed for ministry. This is what happens. Monica is going to show what happens when we wait on God. We go to God as empty vessels. See, this vessel is empty. Yeah? We go to God as empty vessels. And as we wait on him, he fills us for ministry. What is he filling us with? He's filling us with his power. He's filling us with wisdom. If you have word of knowledge, he's filling you with words of knowledge. If you have the power and the gift of evangelism, he's polishing it so that when you speak to people, you can draw people into the church. He's filling you. If you are in the area of worship, he's filling you so that when you worship, people will connect to God. When you go to God daily, that is what is happening. He's filling and it is overflowing. So you are filled and then you go and do ministry. You go and do ministry and then you are empty. Tip it out for me, please. Tip that one out. Completely. You've done ministry. You come back empty. Do you continue serving empty? No. You go back to God. You wait on him and then he fills you. That is what happens. That is how you are able. Keep filling, please. That is how you are able to have an impactful ministry. That is how you are able to have an impactful ministry when you make time to go before God. He fills you. He fills you with his might. Because you go to him and you are drawing power from him. Look at Jesus. Look at the life that he led. He prayed in the early hours of the morning. He prayed throughout the night. He prayed before selecting the disciples. After working miracles, he went and prayed. Why? He was drawing power. Because he knew that power had left him. You cannot do ministry when you are empty. It won't touch anybody. When you do ministry and you are empty, you actually get angry with those who are passionate for God. Why? Because you cannot do what they are doing. And you only offer this symbol to God it won't work. Because you are so busy. You've only saved a tiny bit of your life for God. God isn't going to force you. This is how God uses you. He fills you over and over. Each time you go to him, he fills you up. That is how we read in the Bible that the apostles were filled for ministry. So Peter, who was already speaking boldly to the point, or he healed the lame guy, and he was put in prison. He comes out, he prays, and God fills him again. And he goes out, and he speaks with more boldness. This is what Jesus says. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink." This is the drinking that he was referring to. Come to me and drink. "And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Because this living water is for ministry. This living water is not for you to show up. This living water is not for you to sit in the pews. This living water is to actually enhance the gifts that he has placed in you so that you can bring glory and honor to his name. How much anointing you carry, thank you, Monica. How much anointing you carry depends on how much of yourself that you have given to God. Everything is hard work and unenjoyable when you are empty. You can listen to everything I've said and go home and do absolutely nothing. And you come back next Sunday exactly the same. Or maybe not come back next Sunday because, again, you're going to find something to fill your time, aren't you? Yeah. Or you can decide today, saying, as of today, I am going to make time for God. Come, Spirit of Jesus. Come, Spirit of Jesus. You can do nothing and remain in exactly the same position that you are, or you can decide to make time for God. Some people for weeks and months and years do not even open the Bible, let alone read it. Or pray, and yet they expect all their problems to be solved. By who? Stop focusing on your problems and cry out to God. You are looking at your death situation, but if only you do what Jesus did and look up. Because when Jesus went to the tomb where Lazarus was at, he asked for the tomb, the stone to be rolled away. And as they rolled the stone away, Jesus did not look into the tomb where dead Lazarus was. He looked up. And he prayed. Your help comes from above. Amen. Your help comes from above. Because if you focus on your problems, you are going to get depressed. When you look to God, he's going to strengthen you. The song we sang earlier, his strength comes from above. His strength is reaching me because I'm looking up to him and his strength is reaching me. You're looking down, you're getting depressed. Today I'm going to ask, in here, is there anyone, having heard anything today, willing, as of today, youth and adults, to commit making time for God? I'm going to ask of you an hour. I'm not doing 5-10 minutes anymore. Because in small groups I was saying, just set 10 minutes aside. And I realized some people have stayed 10 minutes for 5-6 years, and they're still there. That 10 minutes they've stopped doing. But if you're looking to be filled for ministry, then 5-10 minutes won't do anymore. Who is that person? You can come up and we'll pray with you. You can come up and we'll pray with you. Because Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This thimble I have is not good enough. It won't do anything to you. You need to make time for him to fill you. Who is that person who is going to come up and say, I am going to look at my diary and I'm going to begin to remove things from there, and I think I've spotted what I can take out of my diary because I don't want to do ministry empty anymore. Empty ministry isn't helping us. You want to see the power of God move in this place? You need to be filled. I need to be filled. I'm getting filled. Are you getting filled? Who is that person who wants to come right here so that we'll pray for that person to be filled? But you need to commit. Don't just come up. You need to commit yourself to pray. Because filling doesn't just come. We read that Peter and John went and they prayed. As they were praying, they were. Who is that person who wants to come up today? Who is that person who wants to commit and say, Lord, I want to stop making excuses. I want to make that commitment and I want to make time for you. Yes, there are things that you would have to give up to make time for God. Because Jesus, when he came to die on the cross, Hallelujah. He gave something up. He was Hallelujah. The King of Kings. If you read about him in Revelation, Hallelujah. He is the one who was stood Jesus. There. And he was so shining that John, when he Jesus. Saw him in the vision, he fell to his feet. He Jesus. Couldn't see, but he took off all the clothing and Holy he put Ghost on a fire. Towel. And he came yes. and he gave up something for you to meet up with God. Hallelujah. You have to give up something. You cannot be right where you are yes. and God fill you with his spirit. Mm. It doesn't work that way.
Hallelujah. Holy Spirit fire. Holy Ghost fire. Come down.
It doesn't work that way.
Keep on ministering. Keep on ministering.
And God
Keep
will fail. Hallelujah. Whether you are youth, whether you are adults, God will fill you. Because he's looking for vessels. He is looking for vessels to use. The revival that we are looking for in this church isn't going to come if you don't make time for God. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Can you pray for them? Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to Jesus.
God is calling. God is speaking.
Glory be to your name.
See, you can't sit down,
thank you, Lord, thank
hear
you,
a message
Lord.
Like this,
thank you, Lord,
and pretend you will still be dry. You will still be in your sin. Who want to join these guys? Who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Who want to see God come? Hallelujah, Lord. Ekele babose kele babosa karoba dosi kele be mashotoya. Yendere bebele besi kele be bashundo roba bola bosa ya ndara babashataya.
Jesus.
Yendere bebele bosi kako na babasa.